Welcome to the Social Impact Solutions podcast, where we help mission-driven leaders measure and market their social impact so they can raise more money and do more good. I'm Lauren.
And I'm John Mark. Together, we bring you expert insights, practical strategies, and real-world stories to help you create more meaningful and measurable change. This podcast is designed for purpose-driven leaders. So let's dive in, explore what's possible, and take your mission to the next level. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Social Impact Solutions podcast, and welcome to the official 2026 season. Really excited to have this conversation today about impact reports. All right, today is all about measuring your impact and communicating your impact with a compelling impact report. So I am here with my co-founder and amazing wife, Dr. Lauren Vanderpool. Lauren, how are you doing today?
Great. I'm excited for today's conversation.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. So like I said, we're going over impact reports, something that we talk a lot about at Social Impact Solutions. And I think before we get too far into this, let's talk about why impact reports are actually important. Really, more than anything else, from a fundraising perspective, a lot of folks don't know that the number one reason for giving is actually the impact that a nonprofit creates. And what we care about even more than that is the number one reason why the nonprofit exists is to create an impact. And so let's do talk about what impact reports are useful for, how they can be used, and really ways that we can rethink, you know, impact reports. Lauren, a lot of folks think about impact reports as just a marketing tool, but we talk a lot about impact reports being strategic drivers, like true strategy drivers for the organization. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we have done a couple of recent webinars, and we did one in January, one in February. Our first webinar this year was on strategic planning and how impact measurement should be such a critical part of strategic planning. And we see that as a gap in nonprofit strategic plans quite often. And so to follow up with that, our most recent webinar a couple of weeks ago was on impact measurement. Mm-hmm. And really how to use an impact report as, yes, a strong marketing communication tool, but also how it can serve as strategy for the organization. And using, if say you're doing a 2025 impact report, how can that be informative, fill gaps, and help set strategy for 2026? So I think a lot of people go about an annual report or an impact report, a strategic plan, other pieces that are so normal in the nonprofit world. And it's like, okay, this is just something that is a requirement. This is something we have to do. Stakeholders, funders, other funders or donors or employees or board members are requiring this of us. And therefore, it's something that we just have to do and get done. So we put our head down and we, you know, have maybe a formal or informal process to get it done. But I think because of that, oftentimes we lose sight of how important these processes can be. Maybe not the end document as much as the process itself. And so I would absolutely agree that an impact report can be a great tool to drive strategy and to really, inform the internal team just as much, maybe even more, as external stakeholders. And that's a lot of what we talked about in our impact report webinar a week or so ago, and would love to dive into those specifics further with you today, John Mark.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think what's important for people to understand is organizations, nonprofit organizations, exist to create change. Donors want to fund change. And so the impact that your nonprofit creates is very much an aligning feature of a nonprofit, right? So we want to really keep impact as the core. It's the heart of the organization, and it's something to be taken seriously. Like impact is such a buzzword. You know, it's one of those phrases that's used and abused and really misunderstood. Impact is the change your programs create, right? It's what impact is. It's the legitimate, measurable change that your programs create. And so it's really important that we have ways of proving that change so that we can go raise more money and scale up our programs, right? And something that we really like to think about as well that a lot of organizations miss is that we think we have to talk. I was actually on a call this week with a great organization in Southern California. They do wonderful work. They have lots of great programs, lots of great outputs from those programs. They're not measuring any outcomes, unfortunately, from those programs. And another thing that they're not doing is there was zero mention of the problem that the organization solves. there really wasn't anything related to the problem that this nonprofit solves. And so when we think about the structure of an impact report, yes, it's about the good work that you're doing, but we have to show the good work that you're doing compared to what would not exist if your nonprofit did not, you know, if did not do that work. And so we love to start with the problem that an organization solves before we get into anything else. But Lauren, I love this conversation with you. What are your thoughts on the importance of showing the problem that the organization solves?
Yeah. So when we're talking about key sections or items to be included in an impact report, there's so much that can be discussed. And I agree with what you said, sort of backtracking, like, what do we even mean by impact in the first place? And you and I and our team, we define this often because the term is overused quite a lot, especially in the nonprofit world. And so really, first and foremost, trying to make sure if you're creating an impact report for your nonprofit, that you're not just highlighting outputs. You're not just highlighting some of those high-level results of your programs. You're not just stating how many supplies you gave away or how many volunteer hours were contributed or how many classes or workshops were provided. That's all activity and results, but that you're really starting to measure and communicate the tangible change, the transformation, the outcomes, whether that's short-term, mid-term, or long-term impacts. And so I know that we say that a lot, but the reason we say that so much is that it's misunderstood and overlooked very, very often. I have had a lot of conversations just this week with various nonprofit leaders about their impact reports, you know, what they should be changing for their impact reports in 2026. And a lot of those conversations have revolved around, oh yeah, well, here are our impact metrics. And it's a list of marketing metrics from social media or their website, or it's fundraising metrics from their CRM. And that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about impact metrics. And that's typically not what funders, volunteers, partners, or other stakeholders want to see either. They want to know the change that you're creating, not the social media followers that you have. They do care about the number of participants you have in your programs, but they care even more about the change you're creating for those individuals or families or the community as a whole. So I know I've backtracked, or maybe, you know, that was a bit of an aside to your initial question, John Mark, but when we're talking about key pieces to include in an impact report, I completely agree that a great section to start with is actually the overarching problem that an organization solves. And that it can be very easy to forget that or assume that people understand that when a nonprofit leader is so close to the organization, the mission, and the programs. But whether it's individuals that are experiencing homelessness, whether it's food insecurity, education gaps, health equity, I mean, you name it, environmental concerns, it can be anything really. As someone with a doctorate in public health, it can be so easy for me to assume that people understand how prevalent chronic diseases are or what a challenge it is in a lot of communities. But Oklahoma, where John Mark and I are located, you know, our state is plagued with chronic disease, whether that's obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, heart attack, stroke, and a lot of others. With my background, it can be very easy for me to assume that people understand how prevalent those conditions are, how costly they are to the healthcare system, how lifestyle behaviors can really factor into improving health. But I shouldn't make those assumptions because it's not necessarily common knowledge. It's not as understood by most people. And so same can be true for nonprofit leaders that are really close to what their mission is all about. So making that problem really clear is absolutely a key starting point with a strong impact report to help people understand what's the problem. And then next on the list is, how are you explaining how your organization is a key part of the solution to that overarching problem? So with that, I'd love to turn it back over to you, John Mark, and hear your thoughts on the importance and how to clearly communicate that an organization is, in fact, the solution or a part of the solution to the overarching problem that they initially outline.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just when you have to cast a vision for what's actually at stake first, like what is the reason why your organization exists? And so just thinking, it's always safe to assume nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows what you do. Nobody knows why they should give you money. That's just a safe assumption. And so when you operate from that assumption, it forces you to communicate who you are, what you do, and how you make the world a better place. And so we always want to be in the position of being promoting what our organization does and how we make a change. And so the problem is absolutely important. It is the hook. It is the reason why your organization exists. But then communicating how you make a difference is extremely important. And this is where a lot of the impact measurement really comes into play. Right. This is where your organization can be taken seriously, or where your organization may likely be overlooked and passed over by other funders. They're like, oh, this organization doesn't take the impact measurement piece as seriously. We don't want to fund them, which is a problem we see all of the time with nonprofits. Right? That's why we do what we do, help them measure their social impact so they can raise more money and then do more good. And so for the plan, what are we trying to do here? How do we make a difference? We want to outline how our programs address that problem. We want to highlight some of the innovation or the differentiations that we have as an organization for making a difference. We want to use clear, simple language. We want to show those outputs, so like the number of people served, the number of meals delivered, those numeric outputs that are important, but we don't want to stop there. Most organizations, if they measure anything, they stop, they do it at outputs and they stop right there. The challenge is funders give to outcomes, they give to impacts. And just to give you that idea is, what is the end result? What changed as a result of those outputs? What's the actual change that was created? You want to measure that, right? Other things that we can do to sort of make it a little bit more, you know, quote unquote human, is we can share stories of our stakeholders, stories of transformation. Really start to show like before and after transformation images, whether it's images, whether it's just stories, whatever medium is most effective for your nonprofit. You want to showcase that change. That's what people give to. Again, that's why your nonprofit exists, and that's what people give to, is to create meaningful change. But you get to spotlight all sorts of different stakeholders. You can do this with your program participants. You can do this with volunteers. You can do this with donors. You can do this with team members. You want to really showcase those changes. Something I'd love to get Lauren's insights on more than mine on this, because I think you do such a great job. What are some of the visuals, some of the charts, the graphs, the things that really incite inspiration and understanding?
It's a good question, and I don't think there's a right or a wrong answer. I love what you just outlined, John Mark, about, you know, adding stories of transformation. People can get really hung up on, well, should our impact report be, you know, just data and qualitative metric or quantitative metrics, or should it be more stories and qualitative? And we love to say that both are best case scenario. You have data to back this up and more of the quantitative pieces. And you also have stories that can be more from a research-based perspective, interviews and focus groups, or more informal through testimonials, things of that nature. But both together, the data and the stories are fantastic. And then on top of that, adding visuals to make the impact report more scannable, more engaging, less text heavy. We look at a lot of impact reports and review past impact reports, create impact reports for organizations, and oftentimes they can be so text heavy. So adding photos, like you already mentioned, John Mark, is a great way to break things up. I talked to an organization earlier this week. They help veterans in a variety of capacities, but one of the things they do pretty often is home improvement projects and even building new homes for veterans. And so that's an example of before and after pictures that could be transformative. You would almost need no words in order to show what someone's living conditions looked like before and after having a new home. So in those situations, before and after photos are great. If you're worried about using someone's face in the photo, their name, that can be modified. Ideally, you have consent from that individual and they are happy for you to use their photo and their name. That's best case. Other visuals that can be really helpful would be charts and graphs, like you mentioned, John Mark. And that just keeps, you know, a lot of the text reduced. You can put so much information in a bar chart, a pie chart, different types of graphs and tables can be a great way to highlight a lot of information. But again, break up the text on the page, reduce the amount of reading that your audience is having to do. Another thing that can be great for some impact reports would be an infographic. So that can work well in a lot of different varieties and examples for all sorts of different program types to add a lot of good information, but in a very, you know, visually engaging way with not having to add a ton of text. And so those would be things that can be included. I think people worry a lot about, well, do I need a graph for my financials? If you're doing a more standard annual report, then yes, having more financial information and some graphs to go along with that could be helpful. In an impact report, I would say it definitely doesn't hurt, but ideally you're incorporating financials throughout the report and tying financials to impact and results, dollar per output, dollar per outcome, rather than just having a separate financial section on its own. I know we're just hitting the high points and going through this quickly today, but those would be some quick recommendations. And if people want additional context, hopefully they can find a past webinar or video recording on YouTube related to impact reports.
Hey, real quick, we want to hear from you. We would love to know what stood out to you about this episode. Would love to hear more topics that you want to hear in 2026. And also would love to know, what are some of the biggest impact reporting challenges that you're facing right now? All you have to do is leave these in the comments. We read all the comments, whether it's on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you want to leave them. We would love to know those three things. And finally, one more thing we'd love to know is, what is one action you want to take today as a result of listening to this episode? So without further ado, let's get back to the podcast, but we'd love to get to hear from you in the meantime.
Would love to pass it back to you, John Mark, to talk about calls to action, having a clear call to action in an impact report, and do's and don'ts when it comes to calls to action.
Absolutely. I love to say that every impact report needs a job, right? And the way that you know if your impact report has a job, if it has one clear call to action repeated throughout the impact report. That's how you know if your impact report has a job or if it is unemployed, right? We want to give it a job. And so different types of impact reports that exist, different types of calls to action that exist for impact reports can obviously be the good old fashioned give today, like make a donation if it's a fundraising job for the impact report. Other impact reports, though, we like to call these more, you know, hero reports, where it's the kind of idea where I just want to send an impact report to a major funder, a major champion, a corporate partner to showcase the impact that they have created as just a way of saying thank you. So the CTA for that, or the call to action for that, is, you know, thank you for your continued support. You're not really asking them to do anything, but maybe you might ask them to schedule a call with you, with your impact report team, that can be sent along in an email format with them. But you want to think, like, what is the purpose for the impact report? What is the call to action? And make it very, very clear with buttons around there, like literally just text and buttons on the impact report saying give today, or become a volunteer, or become a sponsor, or whatever the CTA might be for that impact report. But do not have multiple impact reports, multiple calls to action, in your impact report. You don't want to do that. You want to have very clear, concise CTAs, again, repeated throughout the impact report. And some of the do's and some of the don'ts, I would say for some of the don'ts is, you don't want to play the hero of the story that your impact report is telling, right? You do not want to be the hero. We've been StoryBrand certified for 8+ years as an organization, and it's really important that you play the guide in this story and that you're very, very clear with whom the hero actually is. And the hero can either be the mission that you're serving, or can actually be the funder. And so those are two very different stories, and there's ways to do that really effectively. But the most important thing to take away from this is, you are not the hero. If you're the nonprofit, you are not the hero. You are the one who has been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and you're helping other heroes win the day. And so I just want you to think about, don't be the hero of the story, be the guide. Again, that's very much StoryBrand endorsed language, and we've been, you know, in that community for a long time. And so just thinking about how important it is for you to understand, like, clearly articulate what the problem is that your organization exists to solve. clearly articulate how your organization's programs play a role in solving that problem. Giving your heroes a plan to go out and win the day. So if this is for a fundraising organ, if it, the impact report call to action is for fundraising, you want to make it very clear, like, give today so that we can go do this great thing. Like, whatever the mission, the vision of the organization is, you want to tie the call to action with the impact that can be created. A gift of $50,000 will help us drill 25 water wells in this community, which will bring 100% water access to 10,000 people, 100,000 people, whatever the number is for that organization. You want to tie the impact in the CTA together. It's really, really important that we do that. And so I know we went over a lot of this super quickly. And then, like Lauren said, we've done blogs on this. We have other YouTube videos on this. We've done plenty of webinars on impact reporting. I know you can find more information there. But I want to implore you to think about how you can use 2025's impact data to not only fuel 2026 fundraising, but to fuel 2026 planning. How are you going to grow your programs? How are you going to make a more measurable impact for the future? And then how are you going to call your donors to action to help make that a reality? But Lauren, I would love to hear any closing thoughts from you before we sign off.
Sure. Yeah, I would definitely encourage people to check out our blog and YouTube channel, and then also sign up for future webinars. As we're trying to keep these podcast conversations a little bit shorter. And so we're hitting the high points and going through it quickly. But calls to action are definitely something that can be a struggle or something that people can get hung up on. And so I would say, first and foremost, have a call to action in your impact report. A lot of feedback that we have heard is that, oh, I just use that as an update or a thank you. And there's not a call to action. And like you said, John Mark, it doesn't have to be give today. You don't have to be asking for, monetary support. It can absolutely be a thank you. But letting people know there is still a need, letting people know there's a way for them to continue to engage, letting people know that their support matters. Again, that doesn't just have to be monetary support, but if people don't know how to stay engaged or what the next step is, the odds of them taking that next step are very, very low. So have some form of a clear call to action in your impact report for sure. And I think people can also get hung up on, well, what if a volunteer is reading it versus a donor? And so definitely nonprofits have various stakeholder groups. And one thing you can do is, this impact report, it's the same report with a different call to action. Maybe this is emailed out to your volunteer list. This one's emailed out to a major donor list, and this one's emailed out to partners. And so everything's the same except for the call to action based on who it's sent to. So don't get hung up on that. Point being, just have a clear way for people to engage. But I hope this has been a helpful conversation, hitting some high points of maybe what to change or modify or add to nonprofit impact reports, but would definitely encourage people to sign up for a future Social Impact Solutions webinar and or schedule a call with our team if you would like to talk more about your strategic plan, your impact report for 2026, or anything around impact and fundraising strategy. We would love to have a conversation with you and your team. Anything else you would add, John Mark?
No, I think that was great. Really, really think that was awesome. I think it's just really important to know that impact is the heart. It's the center. Everything is downstream for nonprofits of impact. And so this is not something to be taken lightly. It absolutely will improve your fundraising. It will absolutely improve your programs, which again, we think are most important. It also helps a lot with recruiting wonderful team members, right? This is exactly what team members, they leave their corporate jobs to go make a difference. So the more that we measure and communicate the difference that we make, the more wonderful team members we can recruit for our organizations. I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone listening to this and hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thanks so much.